Let's pray. And then let's sing. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. It's a bit white and windy outside, cold as well. But Father, we're glad to be here. And I pray your good hand upon each one of us, Lord, as we take this time out of our week to spend it with you. And pray, Lord, that you would take time to work on all of us, Lord, our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our bodies. You know exactly what we need, what all of us need, Lord. Wherever people are opening their word, Lord, wherever they're preaching the full counsel of it, I pray you please that it would be a blessing and a help. You know, Lord, all of the thoughts of our hearts and our needs, Lord, and I pray you please that you would please grant our prayer requests according to your will. You would be with absent brethren, especially Pat and Steve, and those that listen in on CD or on the internet. I pray it be a help to them too, especially Alan, Lord, Alan Les. Please be with the folks on the road, the folks up at the Crescent Link, Lord, they've got gospel tracts and a wee bit of the megaphone preaching for the folks in Drumahoe and Maydown and Strathfoy, Lord, and Campsie and around and about, and even in the town. Those leaflets that have been handed out over the years, if you would bring them to people's attention to them. But right now, Lord, I'm just looking forward to a wee bit of time around your word and pray that you would be with us. We love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. 245 we'll start with this morning. 245, the old account of sin. That's a good one to start with.
Long ago, when in that happy home.
356.
Good songs, good teaching doctrines there in the tidings, even of those hymns. Nice ones.
That's Sam.
It's habitation. The children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver them. Whose harvest the hungry eateth up and taketh, it even to the thorn, and the robber swallows up their substance. Although affliction cometh not forth the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. Yet man is born in trouble, but the sparks fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Would God great things, and unsearchable marvellous things, without number. Who giveth rain upon the earth, and sendeth water upon the fields? Who set up on high those that keep low, and those which mourn may be exalted to safety? Who disappointeth the devout crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise? He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the Lord is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime, and grope in the noonday as in the night. But he saveth the poor from the sword, and their mouth from the hand of the mighty. The poor have hope, the iniquity stoppeth his mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastising of the mighty. For he maketh sore, and bindeth up, he woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6,000. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7, and there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war, and from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast there. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace. And thou shalt visit thy habitation, and shall not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring of the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like a shock of corn coming in his season. Lo this, we have searched it. Who it is, hear it, and know thou it for thy good. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Some good verses there. Keep, always remember verse 7, it says, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Yes, indeed. Happy is the man whom God correcteth. Well, sounds like a bit of a contradiction in terms, but God's not done with you. So, amen. Good to know God loves you enough to point you out when you're going wrong. Just want to remind everybody to make sure you get one of those little red prayer lists. It's an honour of Monica being back with us today, as you can see. She's all colour coordinated. We're glad you're back.
Thank you.
That's the first sign of Monica being back, is the updated prayer list. So please do make sure you take one. And please do pray for the people and the circumstances that are on there. They're all very important. And I was just sitting and thinking last night, and I think it was Samuel, that said, God forbid that I should sin in ceasing to pray for you. We need to be reminded, because when you get your head down and when you get busy with life, it's very easy to forget all of the other things that are going on in the world. So don't forget to pray. Is there anything extra we need to be adding to this? I know it's still got that new prayer list smell on it, so if there's anything that needs to be added to it. Anything that needs to be added to it? I can't even see that today. Don't forget, Lynn was in a car accident, not her fault. There was a lorry shed a bit of its load, and 2 or 3 cars were involved. So
please do pray for that to get sorted out. Thankfully, nobody was hurt, but insurance people are insurance people, so I don't mean that in a bad way.
I'm speaking to Charlotte.
She can give me a few pointers. But they have all these questions and one thing and another and papers and forms for a reason, so please do pray that Lynn gets all the details sorted out and the blame gets landed on the Laurie's insurance and not on everybody else's insurance. Please do remember that. Please pray for Pat and Steve. Steve's not doing 100%. Seems to have difficulty fighting off an infection that's creeping up his back and his chest, so please do pray for that. It's not a good sign when that happens. But pray for Steve and his healing, and Pat for patience and strength as she continues to minister. Pat and I have a sort of an ongoing joke. It said, Pat, is it patience or strength? Patience to keep on going, or strength to wring his neck? So, and I'm saying that in the nicest possible way, if you can do. But please do pray for Pat and Steve at this time. Appreciate your prayers for Monica and I. We had a good trip down with my dad and Portadown. Got a few wee jobs done for him around the house. Nothing spectacular, nothing like what Norman was at the weekend. But wee things that just mean he's not annoyed. So please do pray for my dad. Enjoyed seeing him. He's been doing better and better since I got his medication sorted out and looks and feels so much better. So we appreciate your prayers there. Anybody any private prayer requests that they're just going to underline it here? Yes? As soon as I see that, me? Yeah, okay. Pat and Steve, good. I'm sure. Okay. Those get very well lined by the time we come to the new prayer list, so we're glad of that. Anybody got any thanks? Anything in particular?
I already put it on, but thanks that Lynn was safe in her accident.
Yep.
That could have been bad.
And Lord willing, the next time we're down, I seem to have discovered a pipeline for putting apples from our ma. I think I might bring the trailer down and bring a trailer load of apples back. But just a little aside and a reflection on the way things are at the moment, we picked up a bag of cooking apples for, I think it was 2.50, big bag of cooking apples.
7 pounds.
Pardon?
7 pounds.
7 pounds?
It was a 7 pound bag for
2.50. For 2.50, and Monica was saying that I think a bag with 4 cooking apples was like 1.90 or something. Mm-hmm. And needles. So, sometimes it pays to cut out the middleman, the upper management, the rates and the rent that Tesco's would have you pay, as they charge literally double what the farmer or the guy's getting at the orchard. So if anybody's really looking for apples the next time, we already had an order from Christine. She would literally take as many apples as we could get to her. And if anyone's that interested, the next time we're up, we will give them to you at what they cost us. So there you go. I think that's about that. That's just a wee aside. But nothing else? All good. Let's pray. Well, you pray first, please, if you would.
Thank you, Father, this is Lord. Thank you for your prayers and your questions, Lord. And Lord, help us to go through the autumn season, Lord. We've got to pray for the brow, Lord. All, Lord, can save them all. Blood, bread, hope. Help on his journey, Lord. Can save them secure and his friends as well, Lord. Your Frank is his own blood, blood, bread, hope, Lord. And we'll push him up to keep the safe and secure. A blessing to keep him as well, Lord. We also meant to save Stephen, Paul, and John from the troubles, Lord. Save their souls, man, and properly bring them back to church. Also, we want to Steve, Lord. We have saved these things, Lord, and they heal, Lord. Take away any pain or suffering, Lord, discomfort, or anything else that might annoy them, Lord. Lord, we pray as well, Lord, give grace, and give strength, and give patience, Lord. And keep us safe as well, Lord. Give some rest for us. Keep care for Steve as well, Lord. Go this day, Lord. Be more attentive to our Lord, pray from the word of God, to the message that you sent out for us to listen this morning, Lord. And for those that are listening on the CD or on the FNL, Lord. Bless them, bless them, hear us, Also, Lord, this is yours as well, Lord. Yours are not my words, Lord. With the leaflets that have been the doors on the water side, Lord, basically throughout the years work throughout the city up to have given us, well, Lord, that you have to touch those that are lost, Lord, and that will attract our flesh yet in people's lives, Lord, and use it and Holy Spirit to get involved to me and to that church, Lord, that they may be saved through these precious, Lord. Will us today, Lord, and we also keep us, Lord, and direct us to your word, Lord, because of blessing today and may our blessing supplications and all the worship base and one side to these precious again, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Let's take our hymn books again and let's sing another song or two. This time will be in the Wee Black Hymn Books, that good old faithful number 13, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. We'll just we'll remain seated as we
Jesus.
thank you very much. We are, thought that was the rain, but I think it's actually the heater going this morning. In John chapter 3, the chapter that holds the world's most famous Bible verse, of course, John 3:16, and that is actually going to be our text this morning. The title for our message in John chapter 3 is, Who is Whosoever? Who is Whosoever? Amen. John chapter 3. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be saved, and it's good to be on your way to heaven, no matter what life or a particular day will throw at you. It's good to know that you're safe and secure in the Savior's hand. It took me from the pew to the pulpit and round the doors and standing on street corners, and if it'll do that for one of the shyest people, believe it or not, but I used to be, it's amazing what God can do. Think what God can do for you. Amen. Beginning at verse number 1, we're going to read about 20 odd verses of this portion of God's Word. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. Number 16 is our particular text, that's us. But number 15 would do just as well. The title for the message is, Who is Whosoever? Let's have a wee word of prayer and then we will continue on. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this time in your word. I pray, Lord, that you would open our understanding, that you would just deliver to us what it is that we need today. Don't be done with us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would never be at a point in our lives whenever you're finished with us. I pray, Father, that there would be a desire found in us, Lord, of wanting to do what you want us to do. bless our time in your presence. Thank you for the ability just to lift up our voices and praise you, and thank you for all that you've done for us. And it's only a tiny thing compared to all that you've done for us. Lord, just bless our time here. Please be one of our number. Please minister to each one of us, Lord. And we love you and praise you. Amen. Amen. A very quick run through this portion of God's Word. It is probably one of the most quoted and read chapters of the Bible. But it begins with an old priest, a man, a ruler of the Jews, the Lord said. He said, what was it he said? Art thou a master of Israel and know not these things? A man that was well experienced in religion, and yet in all, for all the years of his teaching and all of his experience in the world, he still didn't know about salvation. He just couldn't put two and two together, and he didn't know the difference that God made in a person's life. And so he came to Jesus one night, genuinely seeking, because Nicodemus, this man that we are reading about, he is one of the whosoevers. He came to Jesus, buttering them all up and reading his pedigree out, pretty much probably what they used to do to each other whenever they would meet at their shindigs. And he said, we know that thou art, what did he say? A teacher come from God, for no man can do these things that thou doest. Notice he didn't say, we know that thou have come from the school of, and sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and received your, Jewish endorsement, whatever it is, the piece of paper that says you're allowed to preach the gospel. Anyway, he said, we know that thou art a great teacher come from God. You know what Jesus said? He said, Nicodemus, all that stuff means nothing. You must be born again. You must be born again, otherwise you'll not even see the kingdom of heaven. And this is the problem that a lot of people have. Nicodemus says, how can I be born again? Is there some way for me to go into my mother's tummy and come out again and be born again? And that shows a marked lack of spiritual discernment for a man that is a master of Israel. And Jesus said, there is the water birth, the natural birth, but there's also a spiritual birth. And if you don't have this spiritual birth, you're just the same as you always were. And as we read these last few verses, Jesus said, I'm not come to condemn people. I'm not come to point a finger at them and tell them you're going to go to hell if you don't straighten yourself up. I'm coming to tell them you're on your way to hell. You're condemned already. It's not for me to say you're going to hell. You're on your way to hell. I'm here to point you off the road to hell. I'm here as we, at this early point in the scriptures, there was no mention of the Lord giving himself as a sacrifice on the cross that started to creep in later on as he prepared the disciples, the apostles, for that. But later on, he obviously pointed people to himself. And he said there is a very good reason a lot of people don't want to come to Jesus. One of the titles of Jesus is the light of the world. And I don't know about you, generally speaking, I have one or two flashlights on me. Very handy when you're working up on the roof space, in the dark or around the corner. I also have a little flashlight on me, just in case one of them runs out of juice whenever I need it. There's no street lights in this neck of the woods. But you use a light to shine on things whenever you want to see them clearly, and Jesus is the light of the world in a spiritual context. And when lost souls come into contact with you, carrying that little bit of the Holy Spirit with you, and you start talking about God, there is a spiritual light shed upon them. And unfortunately, it reminds them of all of their sins. It shines a light upon their sin. Let's be honest, we don't like being told when we're wrong, do we? Not a nice feeling to be told you're wrong, to suffer the loss, and to realize, oh goodness, that time, that money, that effort was wasted. It's not nice. Unless, of course, you want to improve yourself and say, well, that time and money and effort was wasted, but from here on in, my time and money and effort won't be wasted. I'm going to do the right thing. And that's why Jesus said, people don't like church. They don't like the gospel. They don't like the commandments. Sure. The number of commandments that people break even before they get up in the morning or in the afternoon. About having no other gods before you, but instead of getting up and going to church, half the dairy's probably still lying in their beds. Instead of going to church, folks will do anything else. Everything's before God. Oh, God understands that. The things that I have to do. God does understand the things that you have to do. He knows completely why you do them. But he says, I should be first. And then the things that you need to do, you have time for them. What about taking the Lord's name in vain? Many times do people take the Lord's name in vain? You would think, if just the mention of Jesus or some of the characters in the Bible or the Lord was a means of making you holy, Derry would probably be the holiest town in the world. The number of times the Lord's name is taken in vain. The Bible says God will not hold him guiltless. This is just the Ten Commandments. It doesn't even talk about smoking or drinking or doing drugs. It says about not committing adultery or fornication. And how many people in Derry are living together, living in sin. It talks about actually being in church. Remember, and talks about the Sabbath day. We worship the Lord on the Lord's Day, on the Resurrection Day, the first day of the week. It talks about being in church. It talks about honoring your mother and father. It talks about not telling any lies and not killing people to get their car keys or their Nikes or their monies. How many people, like, 10 verses of scriptures, and how many people does that show that they're wrong? It's not nice. But God said, that's just man. That excellent verses in Job this morning. Job 5:8. Yea, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. That is us. And the commandments are not there as a railing to stop us from having good times. The commandments are there as railway tracks to keep us going in the right direction and to keep us safe from all of those things. It is absolutely staggering how often in this world sin is glorified and, in quotes, enjoyed by so many that have to work so hard and spend so much time telling everybody else that they're having a good time, but yet and all they're on the road to hell, and no amount of money or extracurricular activities is going to put the smile on the face of a lost and damned soul. Jesus said, you're all lost. You're all damned, condemned. You're all going to hell. I am here to save you from it. And the verse of scripture that we need to be looking at, or the one that we're thinking about, is John chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. The important word is whosoever, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And of course, John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world. In other words, he went above and beyond that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Folks, stop loving their sin. They would be breaking down the doors of every church in town, wanting to get closer to God. But they don't. They love sin. And that's just it. I'm not in John chapter 3 at the moment. This is the most famous portion of scripture. I'm actually in Matthew chapter 8. That's where I'm reading at the moment. And the one thing that really pointed me, or gave me pause for thought, was the people that Jesus ministered to. It wasn't just the priests, although you would think it would be. Here comes the head of the church, incarnated in the flesh, walked and talked with people for 30 years, then for 3 years started a ministry, an itinerant preaching ministry. And the message was, you are condemned, but you can be saved. God has done every single thing that he can, short of grabbing you by the lapels and dragging you to heaven. But let's be honest, If a person can't stick church and even the reading of scriptures or praising the God that made everything and will save anybody, if a person can't stand being in church for an hour, can you imagine that person being grabbed under the arms and frog marched into the streets of gold where there's no sin? They'd be going, man, where's the pub? I'm afraid there's no pubs in heaven. Drinking's a sin. There's no sin in heaven. How the blankety blank am I going to enjoy myself? There's no swearing in heaven either. We're off to church. Oh, goodness. Well, at least it's only for an hour. Not here. We go to church for weeks at a time, for days at a time. And we can sing and praise God in our new and glorified bodies with a perfect pitch. For hours at a time, we go, oh no, I hate this place. There's angels everywhere. And even seeing them reminds me of my sin. You would hate it. It would be a torment for the endless ages of eternity. And that's why we need to be born again. That's why we need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to be thinking just for a second. Hold on a second. I've been wrong and I need Jesus. But who is the I've been wrong? Who is the whosoever? In Matthew chapter 8, it was the woman with the issue of blood. And it wasn't a woman that he came specifically to see, although we know there's no accidents. There's no accidents in the Bible. At least as far as where Jesus just happened to be. That song that Sister Sandra requested, she only touched the hem of his garment. That's what this woman did. Jesus was walking to Jairus' daughter, I think it was, who Jairus literally begged and pleaded for her to come and say, oh goodness, a high priest, his daughter, another whosoever will. And she just touched the hem of his garment as he walked by, and immediately she was made whole. But Jesus perceived that, as one of the Gospels says, that virtue had gone out of him. And he turned and said, who touched me? The disciples, of course, you're in the middle of a crowd. Jesus, everybody's touching you. And he turned around and saw the woman. He knew, of course, straight away, and she came forward. He said, go in peace, your faith's made you whole. A woman with an issue of blood that had spent her everything on doctors and had only gotten worse. Then there was, in the same chapter, the Roman centurion, whose servant was at the point of death. He came to Jesus. And let's bear in mind now, the Roman Empire was the world-spanning empire. And they were not easy on the people that they conquered. They exacted a tax from them. They had tax collectors raised up from among the people. There's another whosoever will, who was a tax collector. Levi was a tax collector that Jesus called as an apostle, my goodness. But this Roman, a soldier of the nation that had beaten down the Jews and taken them under control, who could, like, they were renowned for giving people hidings and always complaining about their money. They would rob people. They would give them a duffin. Because John said when they, do you remember whenever the soldiers came to John the Baptist? He said, well, what are we going to do now that we're trusting in God? And John said, be content with your wages and do violence to no man. And they could even say to someone that they had conquered, here, time attack for a mile. And that's why you get the old saying about going the extra mile. That a believer would go another mile and save someone else being called for a mile. In John 11, we have a fellow called Lazarus. I'm sure everybody knows the name of Lazarus. It's synonymous with being raised from the dead. He was a close friend of Jesus. And every time that Jesus went to Bethany, he pretty much called in with Lazarus and Mary and Joseph. I say Lazarus, Mary and Martha, not Joseph. Thank you for that. That's where my head is this morning. Say two heads are better than one, that's definitely true this morning. But there was Lazarus. He was a close friend of Jesus. And he died. Jesus let him die. And then he came and raised him from the dead, even beyond the plan. mind that I think Mary and Martha were saying, but Lord, if you go in there, there'll be an awful smell because his body has started to decay. Now, if you ever got talking to Lazarus afterwards, you'd never, I don't think even for one second that he would ever consider not being a Christian. But Jesus ministered to him. In Luke chapter 7, do you remember the widow woman that Jesus and his apostles came across as they were taking her son off for burial? The widow woman's only son, a widow woman who would not have a trade. Her husband was dead. Her son was her only means of support. And her son was dead. And Jesus came and busted up the funeral. He told the young fellow to get up off of the bier, B-I-E-R. And he did. Of course, then, you have a couple of men of Jairus' daughter. Do you remember John chapter 4? The woman at the well. Jesus just happened to be passing the woman at the well. But she was an adulteress. She had broken up four or five families. Nobody, none of the other women would talk to her of anything to do with her. They didn't want any of her sin creeping onto them, and quite rightly. Jesus ministered to her. If we mentioned a tax collector, Levi, that's mentioned in two of the Gospels, where Jesus called a tax collector. One of the dregs of society. They were hated. They were seen as the extension of the arm of the Roman Empire when it came to making life difficult for the Jewish people. And Jesus called them. He said, come on, you with me. Of course, we could also talk about Simon Peter, Andrew, James and John, the sons of the fishermen. Jesus called fishermen to come and work for him, and they did. If anyone ever remember a wee woman by the name of Mary Magdalene? Mary Magdalene, she was a bad girl. She was mentioned once whenever Jesus was in eating, I think, with some of the, would it have been Simon, I can't remember, one of the Pharisees. She came in and she was weeping and she was so grateful for what God had done for her that she broke an alabaster box full of ointment of spikenard. Like a diary, something that she could have sold to start herself off in married life with a husband. And she broke it and poured that out upon Jesus. And in weeping, washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. She knew the great difference that he had made because it says twice in Mark and Luke, Mark 16 and Luke chapter 8, that Jesus actually cast seven devils out of her. Who knows? She was known as a sinner. Does that make her a harlot? A thief? I don't know. But she was known as a sinner. And Jesus ministered to her. Does anyone remember the two men that were possessed with legions of demons? The demoniac of Gadara. It says there were two in one of the Gospels. Only one of them ever noted as getting right with God. He was possessed with a legion of devils, and yet he came running towards Jesus because no matter what you feel like you have to do, you are still in charge. He presented himself to Jesus, and Jesus dealt with the problem, and he was set free. Jesus ministered to a demoniac. Do you remember the woman that came to Jesus and his disciples and said, Lord, please have mercy upon my daughter, because she's possessed with the devil. You know what Jesus said to her? She was a Gentile woman. She wasn't a Jew. He said, it's not fit or not meet that I should give the children's food unto dogs. And her thinking quick said, that's very true, Lord. But even the dogs get some of the crumbs that fall from the children's table. And Jesus said, your faith, you know, great is your faith, your wee girl is delivered. And he ministered to and coaxed an unbeliever. Do you remember the lame man that waited at the pool? for the troubling of the waters by the angel. Remember what was said? And the first person into the pool was him. He spoke to a cripple. He ministered to a cripple. And the cripple was delivered. There were kings and rulers. Remember Herod and Pilate, who were brought together, made friends because of Jesus Christ, because they hated Jesus. They still got to hear the same gospel, and Pilate himself even said, "This man is innocent." They heard the same words. We could go on. Blind Bartimaeus, the two blind beggars, the man that had leprosy. All of these people that came to Jesus, Jesus never turned anybody away. In fact, those are only the examples that were notable. But the times that it was renowned that Jesus was in house, the Bible records that everybody came to him, and Jesus healed everybody. The Word of God records, probably as a good summing up, the common man received him gladly. Those people that didn't have any airs and graces or false delusions of grandeur, they heard him gladly. And they all had one thing in common. They had come to the end of themselves. Many of them had tried many different things, using contemporary wisdom, their own resources, and it hadn't worked. So they came to Jesus. A bunch of stuff didn't matter anymore. It didn't matter about rivalries. We had Jairus, we had Nicodemus, at least two of the priests. We even had Paul the Apostle, who were haters of the gospel because they saw people, they would see the church attendance down and Jesus would have been getting everybody following them. They hated them. Not because he was preaching the wrong gospel, but because he was making them look like fools. But whenever the rubber really met the road, they forgot about those things. Jairus, he wasn't worried about what the rest of the guys in the priesthood thought. He wasn't worried even about what everybody else thought, because he came in a crowd of people and begged and pleaded with Jesus on his hands and knees, "Please save my little girl." Didn't matter about their wealth or their social position. They still came to Jesus. Remember the rich young ruler? That came knowing that he needed something, but unfortunately he loved money more than he loved God. The people that really needed Jesus, it didn't matter about anything except their need for Jesus. And whenever they left Jesus' company, they left transformed, or at the very least edified. Again, we know Herod and Pilate never got saved. We have a good idea that the rich young ruler never got saved. The Word of God records that he left Jesus after being given the solution to his problems, sorrowing greatly, because he had great riches. I'm not saying it's wrong to be rich. If you have money, enjoy it by all means. Just don't let it run your life. I know in this day and age, we can do things that a lot of people couldn't back then. I have a couple of nice little rechargeable flashlights. People could still run around with a stick and a bit of tar and have light in their houses and a candle and one thing and another. That's nothing. It's nothing out of the ordinary. I could pull a pocket knife. Yes, I could, out of my pocket. People still had knives back in the day. Remember Jesus said to Peter, "Put away your sword. That's not the way things go, Peter. You used to wander around with a sword." That's nothing out of the ordinary. But the things that would have killed people many years ago, like sepsis or appendicitis, or having far too many gallstones in your guts, or getting thrust through the belly with a sword, we would have a much, much better chance of surviving those things. Even a chest infection, a thing that may have killed a person, we take £10 worth of antibiotics and we're as right as rain in a week or two. But our real need is still not things and stuff. Our real need is Jesus Christ. And not just, oh, I have Jesus in my heart. It's, I have Jesus as my Savior. I have repented of my sins. I have made space in my heart that used to be taken up by my sins for Jesus. And the Holy Spirit lives there now. That's what we need. The assurance of knowing that regardless of what happens in this world, that we reside safe and secure in the Savior's hand. And the Father's and the Son's hand. That's what we need. And there's no institution can do that, or organization, or government, or law enforcement agency. Well, they could certainly, the police could put a line of policemen, or the military could put a row of soldiers around your house. They could put barbed wire around it. They could run dogs around it. They could have flashlights on it. And do you know what? It still wouldn't save your soul. Only Jesus. Those that benefited knew of their need. They knew of their need. And they grabbed a hold of God's solution. That's his Son, Christ Jesus, with both hands. And they held on tight. And what do you think they're doing now? All those people that trusted in Christ as their Savior, the people here, what do you think they're doing now? Oh man, the opportunities that I missed because I followed Jesus. I never got to go out drinking and partying and sleeping around the country. I never got to do that. Do you think they're doing that now? I'll tell you exactly what they're doing right about now. They're walking the streets of gold in glorified bodies without any sin nature whatsoever. Might even be singing God's praises along with 100 million other people or whomever has been saved down the ages of the history of man. They're seeing the angels face to face, God Almighty on his throne, the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, all of their friends. Do you remember those people that got up out of their graves and walked into the town at the time of Christ's crucifixion? Remember that. What do you think they're doing now? And the people have listened to them. They are having the time of their lives in heaven with their Savior. They're not worrying about anything that's happening down here on earth except maybe to praise the Lord and, I don't know, do you get to urge God to save more souls or pour out more of your Holy Spirit upon people? I don't know. But there's none of them in hell. Not the ones that chose Christ the Savior. Not the names of the souls that we have mentioned here. They're not in hell. They're not suffering and they're not worrying. They're with their God in heaven. No more hurts or pains or tears or fears. Home at last. All the saved of every age. No regrets. Not one. I'm going to tell you something else. We might never remember the names of all of those people that we speak to, that we minister to, or even that we sat beside in church over the years. But God knows each and every one. We are the whosoever will. The whosoever will is any person that will fall at the feet of Jesus Christ and ask him to be their Savior. The whosoever will that goes out and serves is the one that falls at the feet of Christ their Savior and begs for wisdom or strength or wherewithal. But you, friends, it's me. We are the whosoever will. And the endless ages of eternity, it's going to be the only thing that matters. Amen. Stop him there. Thank you for your good time, and God bless you. All right. Let's take our hymn books again, just one last time this morning. Did everybody get an honorable mention this morning, except for my wife? 254.
254 is called Whosoever Will. We stand as we sing. Let's make a joyful noise. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands. Fellowship for a little bit.